This week on Weird and Wacky, Ray and I talk to
Betty Miller and Karen Keene,
paranormal investigators of New
England.
Yes, and we discuss the paranormals, and they explain to us the difference between the paranormal and the supernatural. It's going to be very informative and very scary. You guys tune in, because you guys are going to love this mini-series.
Not your typical hump day. These stories are stranger than fiction and more wackier than a Karen going Karen for being told to put on a face mask in public. Brace yourself. This is Bro Rand's Weird and Wacky Wednesdays.
All right, so we are here with Betty Miller. Is it DuPont Miller?
Yeah, that's good.
DuPont Miller, okay. So we're here with Betty DuPont Miller and Karen Keene, right?
Correct.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And they're with the Paranormal Investigators of New England. Is there? Yes. You guys are probably going to be the only good thing out of New England from now on, now that the Patriots don't have Tom Brady. Just saying. I just had to put that out there. So you guys, you know what I liked about when I found I found the article and I found your page, that you guys are, it's even. It's like five women and five men. And I don't ever see, especially with this on TV and stuff, I don't see it ever being
equal.
I don't ever see women doing it. It's always men that I always see in these Discovery channels and whatnot. Is it on Discovery Channel? I think so. So I was shocked to see you guys in it.
There.
Yeah, it was like the female version of that adaptation of Ghostbusters. I was like, damn, okay.
Joe Biden fly just went by, sorry.
Oh, really? That was a spirit. So I think it's really cool. I just want to get off the bat. I think it's really cool that you guys are doing this for women power. I got two daughters. Raymond has...
I have my biological daughter, and then I have... Kara has
one. This is wife.
Yeah, she has. I see. She adopted two girls, one from Africa, one from Haiti, and then she adopted. Then she has two biological girls. So that's four. Yeah.
Wow. I'm never gonna have him.
Girl of an hour.
You're gonna have to plead the fifth for me, because I'll never have you go to court for me. You give up everything. Give me to get their social too. I just wanted to say you had how many kids you had. I didn't need to know all that detail.
Well, what's troubling is you had to stop and think about it.
I know. You like, just was like,
well, let me see.
As I get older, I forget them.
Dude looked up and was like looking for God. Like, God help me now. Take the wheel, Jesus.
I call my boys. One's named Andrew. One's named Raymond. I call them the opposite.
The opposite.
Yeah. It just happens.
Look, I keep disappearing.
I know you do keep disappearing. It's fine. So, how long have you guys been doing this?
I've been since 2008. Were you right after that?
Yeah, so I've been doing it 10 years. I've been with the team 10 years. Started the process about a year before that, so maybe 11 years total.
Oh, wow.
Kind of learning about it and going on some, ghost weekends to learn techniques and how to become an investigator.
Gotcha. What drew you to it? I mean, you saw it on TV. How did you find the group?
I've always been into the paranormal since I was young, and different factors have kind of kept me interested over the years.
Yeah.
Of course, the Ghost Hunter show came out, which I loved watching every Wednesday night religiously. Uh-huh. And I found out that they would offer where you could go and investigate with them. So I signed up for a weekend, went, attended all the lectures, really liked the science behind it. And that's where my brain goes, is I like the equipment. I like capturing evidence. Gotcha. And so after I attended a couple of those, I asked them, how do you become a real paranormal investigator? And they said, find a group. And I started searching in the state of Vermont, and I found Paranormal Investigators of New England. And I absolutely loved their website, that they were science-based, hoodoo, voodoo.
Yeah.
And sent an application in, and that's where it all started about 10 years ago.
Karen, can you go into the science? When you say science, what do you mean by that?
So what I like is being able to capture evidence on pieces of equipment. you know, actually getting recordings of voices that you wouldn't hear with your ear. Gotcha. I like the fact that EMF detectors, that there's a change in the energy of a room when spirit presence is there. You know, we can actually use devices that record electromagnetic frequencies, and they will show changes when there is, you know, a spirit energy around.
Yeah, I've seen that, like the it's the room temperature goes cold, right? In certain spots, you have cold spots.
Right, right. We're not interested in, you know, seances and Ouija boards and anything like that.
We're all data-driven.
Data-driven. Okay. Okay, you don't think there's any, do you think there's any validity in the Ouija boards? Just out of curiosity. This is just something I'm throwing out. That.
Well, I think anything can be a Ouija board. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the Mattel factory or whoever it is puts out haunted boards per se, but it's just all of a sudden people are using it as a tool. And when you use something as a tool to communicate, if you keep knocking on the door, something's going to answer.
I agree.
And especially in a group and there's that energy. So I don't think it's the, I don't think it's the board itself, but it is the way that people work it and apply it. So it's all about intention.
100%.
Gotcha. So yeah, basically, yeah, about intention. What you put out, you basically get back in a sense.
Right.
Yeah. In a sense, yeah. So what would you say? Okay, I know it's 10 years ago. And for you, Karen and Betty, you said how?
For me, it was 2008. So it was 12 years ago.
12 years. Okay, okay. Do either of you remember your first case? Was it scary? Was it exciting? What was the case about?
Honestly, I don't remember my first case. I know it was a residential case, but I was so worried about doing everything right and fitting in that I have to admit, I think it was pretty unremarkable, but little things. I was so into, like, they wanted the newest person did all the taping down of cords. They wanted the newest person to be the person who lugged all the stuff in, which we don't do that. Now, since I took it over, but
she's on the top of the totem pole.
I see that now. Yeah,
I taped down those electrical cords and everything so much you could not, like, even pull them up. And somebody finally had to tell me to stop. But I was like trying to just do it right.
Yeah,
but it wasn't an exciting case because it takes a lot of cases to find something exciting. So that one just wasn't one. But they're certainly after 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, we got our share.
So how many cases have you done in all these years? Oh,
hundreds.
I mean,
very few, you know, are on our website because we don't post anything that's residential. It's completely confidential. So if you were to go to our website.
Yeah,
I told you about that. You're seeing commercial properties and properties that we've been given permission to post. But you'll never see on our website the homeowners and the countless properties that we've been to help folks out.
Is that for resale for homes or is that just because they want to keep the care?
No, it's to solve problems. I mean, we get contacted by homeowners all the time because they believe that they're experiencing paranormal activity. Yeah. They may be frightened. They may be just wanting answers. They want to be validated. So we come in and try to either figure out a logical explanation for what they're experiencing, or we do our investigation and can actually validate what they have going on. And for some folks, that's comforting just to know that they're not losing it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Gotcha. I saw in your equipment list that you guys use, the least scientific one was the teddy bear.
Yeah. No, wait,
that's
loaded with goodies in that teddy bear.
I'm just messing with you. It's got like what motion detector and whatnot in there and infrared. Does it have infrared or no? I forget.
No, it has motion detection.
Motion detection thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
but
that's actually another member's bear who I think the dog has eaten it up since.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Do ghosts know they are dead?
You know, there's really no way to prove that. I don't know. What do you think? I assume
Every once in a while, you see evidence or not evidence, but somebody on our team who has more abilities, which we don't normally get into that. But we do have some people that are sensitive and will say they don't know they're dead. You know, that's not a path we typically go down.
Okay.
We're typically there just to see, to determine if there is paranormal activity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but that's a good question. And that's actually the big question too, is not only is there life after death, but do you always know you're dead?
Right. And you know, some of the hauntings that happen maybe residual, where say a Civil War soldier just keeps repeating the same pattern, walking through a field, may not know anything different. But we've, you know, there's been cases where questions have been answered and you get a response on a microphone that seems that they know that they're no longer there. So that's something it's impossible to prove. You can have tons of theories out there, but I don't know, I'm mixed on that.
How do you normally, I mean, how do you guys get rid of them? I mean, do you tell them to go to the light or to pass along, well, pass on, or
it's not within our capacity to get rid of them.
Yeah.
That's not what we do. And we tell clients that, what we're there for, we're that step in the ladder that says, is there activity or is there not? Cause people will go, well, there's stuff happening and I feel crazy. And I just, you know, they tell people about the activity and people say, oh, you're just, you know, you're imagining it. And so what they want is for somebody to come in and say, is there or is there not activity? And then we give them everything at the end of the review, everything we have from film footage to what we use for equipment, what happened. Mm-hmm. And the summary is, do we believe or not that there's activity? So we're just that step in the ladder. And they can then get a medium, get a priest, do whatever, sage, whatever they want.
Right, right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you're
so we're investigating the paranormal claims. It takes somebody else beyond us to rid spirits or do whatever.
Right. Gotcha. Because you're just tackling the scientific part of it.
So you're just verifying to make sure that you are not crazy. You're sane, and you really do have something going on in your house. And then do you direct them to the people that can help get rid of the ghosts, the spirits, or whatnot?
You mean people in our
contacts?
In our contacts that we can refer them on. And then sometimes we go to someone's home and we don't find any evidence of paranormal activity, but we find certain parts of their home have high EMF, air conditioners, you know, bedside alarm clocks that can put out a high EMF that can cause some paranoia, some symptoms that people may feel are paranormal, but once those are corrected, electrical problems, things like that, once those are corrected, then the paranormal activity
is gone.
Dissipates. Gotcha. It's gone.
Gotcha.
Right. Not everything is a haunting.
Is there a difference between a ghost and a spirit?
Good question.
To me, there's not. To me, there's become so interchangeable that people use them so much together that I just take it as one, because I think they all mean the same thing. They're trying to drive home the point. What they call it, entity, spirit, ghost.
It's funny, you know, I find that ghost was a term always used. And then if you watch any of the shows with the mediums, they always refer to them as spirit.
Yeah,
so I think it's how, you know, you want to.
Ghost is very
commercial.
Yeah, commercial and kind of cheesy
commercial.
To me.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I got ghosts. Ooh.
I blame Patrick Swayze and Whoopi and Demi Moore for that.
Yeah.
When I think of ghosts, for some reason I think I'm like probably scary. And then I think of spirits.
You think friendly. You think of family members and whatnot.
Right.
I don't know why.
I think of Casper of ghosts.
Yeah.
So are ghosts so ghosts aren't malevolent?
Yeah, are they evil, or are they good, or just misunderstood?
Oh, I don't think they're misunderstood by humans.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I would say that they're a mixture.
Okay.
And they're just like humans are. We're a mass bunch of people that are good and bad, or, you know, what have you. And it's just the same, but they're just in a kind of a different, maybe dimension.
Okay.
If you want to think of it that way. So it's a variety.
Variety. Wow. So you haven't encountered some bad spirits or ghosts.
Right. And there's theories out there that spirits are, you know, obviously walked on this earth as a human at one point. Mm-hmm. But then there's other entities out there that were never human. So that's the darker side. And
do you refer to them as demons like we do or I do or no? You stay away from that.
That's a tough one. I typically stay away from those. She's done a little bit darker cases. I'll let her answer that.
Well, a lot of people think right off that there's a spirit in the house. Oh, it's a demon. You know, I got Beelzebub or whatever in the house. So in going into it, I know if it's going to be bad because they'll send a request for an investigation. It'll say there's scratches, there's bruises. I'm sick. When they start listing all the heavy stuff, not just footsteps and everything, I know we're going in a direction that is going to be a little more intense and has the possibility to be more on the demonic side. There's very few that are really demonic, though. So I let the investigators know, and then whoever wants to be on that type of case, they can. But there's some people who want to investigate that and others who want to stay away.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to ask him?
Go ahead.
Okay, good.
I follow you after this.
Okay,
one.
Cool. Yeah. How nice of you. Kind sir.
You guys work so well together.
Yeah, they do.
I know. He's a nice guy. I'm a jerk. He's a nice guy. But so I was gonna say, are you more so afraid to touch on things like that because of a demonic, it could follow you home or,
You know,
has that happened? Okay.
I have had something follow me home. I did not feel at all it was demonic. In fact, all of us really on the team have had that experience. Usually doesn't stay in your home for long. You know, we kind of have little techniques we do before we get in the car at the end of an investigation. But the demonic stuff, I have always stayed away. I don't understand. Like, I'm afraid of it. I won't lie. It scares me because maybe I've watched too much TV and I hear the claims. I also have two kids. They're older now, but 10 years ago, they were real young. So as I was doing this, I no way, shape, wanted to bring any kind of energy into my home.
Yeah, which I understand.
And having teenage boys, I really don't need to bring any more dark energy into the house.
I was going to say, I got things to follow me on these damn kids. Tell me how to get rid of them.
Exactly. So,
I got to tell you, after an investigation that does have dark energy, you get home, you know, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, and you just like wait, like to see if it followed you. And it's like you try to go to sleep and it's like, did it come in the car? Because it has followed us a number of times.
Wow.
And I even got attacked one night after.
She had a scary experience.
Like, can you touch on that? The scary experience, if you're okay with it.
Yeah, I can. I can touch on the case.
Okay.
So a friend of mine, two Christmas Eves ago that he had something in his apartment that kept messing everything up. It would completely take stuff off walls, smash it, all this stuff, right? So being the friend I am, I said, well, I'll come and I'll set up a cam. So I set up the cam and went home. And then a number of hours later, maybe 4 hours later, he calls and he says he went down for a nap and he got up and the apartment was all a mess again. Everything was smashed. And I was like, oh boy. And the camera was right like where it need to be. So I'm going to see this action. So despite being Christmas Eve, I run over to his place.
Yeah.
And I get the DVR unit and I don't let him watch it. Something told me not to let him watch it. So I watched that DVR and what I saw was it was him transitioning into something that was taking possession of him. He went to sleep, but then he came back and sat on the couch. Something took possession. You could see his arms were like starting to go like that. And then he got up and he started walking around with his arms like extended.
Yeah.
He was not the person. Crap. I got the actual transition. And then he started just peeling crosses off the walls, pictures, everything, Bibles and smashing everything. It was him.
Wow.
So he doesn't know this yet, right? And I'm in his apartment and I'm looking at it and he can tell by the look on my face. He says, "It was me, wasn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it was." And I didn't let him watch the video. And I got out of there. I wrapped it up and I said, "I don't know what to tell you. We're going to have to take steps from here." But I came home and something did attack me a couple nights later that was the same feeling that was in his apartment. And I was in the bed and something just came, like hovered over me, and it was like shaking.
Yeah.
Almost like being electrocuted.
Yeah.
And I just, it's like, okay, I know what it is. I know what this is. So it's like, I started just saying the Lord's Prayer. It's like, I'm not going to open my eyes. I'm not going to give it that power to look at it. I said the Lord's Prayer and just kept going over and over.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not real religious, but you get religious real
fast. Oh, real quick. Real quick. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. All those Catholic school prayers come right back.
So I kept saying it, and eventually it lessened and it went away. But it's like, you know what? That's my warning. That's my warning to stay away.
Wow. So from there, you've not gone back to anything that's demonic, or you still go?
No, I have.
You have. Okay. No.
So there is
braver than I am.
Yeah,
there is. But I stayed away from that case. I stayed away from that.
Okay, so you said you sent your team to handle it.
Yeah, it's like, you know what?
That was too personal. You're too close to it.
Yeah, it was too close to me.
Yeah,
but the question I have, though, listening to your story. Your friend, he was possessed, and you weren't. Is there something in his background where he was, it was able to take possession of him, and you not, because you were able to fight it off, but he wasn't. He was taken possession of. So,
I don't know whether it was claiming him and just warning me. And the funny part is, he's extremely religious. And you find a lot of times these demonic things attached do this to the people who are super religious.
Wow. It's almost like voodoo.
I don't know.
If you believe in voodoo.
So maybe I didn't have enough religion in for
You just had enough Hail Marys in you. Enough Hail Marys.
So neither one of you have a background in religion at all? Like neither one of you went to church or...
I went to Catholic school, kindergarten through eighth grade.
I was going to say, I knew it, Karen. I can tell you got that.
Yeah,
that rebellious. You got that rebellious tone on it.
Church.
And what about you, Betty?
Maybe if church was on Tuesday night.
She's like, no, Sunday football, no. Can't be there.
So Betty didn't have church at all?
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Betty had? I had that whole Episcopalian thing.
Yeah.
Growing up, I did. It was in the choir. I mean, I did all that. But I'm not. I'm just kind of spiritual now, you know, as far as, you know, yay God, but I'm not, I'm not going.
They're
to
not
church.
Big. I mean, the church isn't big fans of paranormal investigators. Like, I certainly won't want to do show and tell day with my kids.
I'm shocked that they're not.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's something.
I think it would more so.
That they don't love.
Yeah. But. Because to me, it would validate faith, right? If they show this is the dark energy and entities and ghosts and spirits.
It's the strangest thing because the Bible is full of spirits.
Yes.
All the way through. But they will not go there. They won't. Most, and it's very hard to find a minister or anybody who will come and do it. It's completely opposite of what you think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of the, is it sleep nap? No, sleep apnea. Is that what it is? Sleep apnea?
You
have you ever experienced? No. Is that
sleep paralysis?
Paralysis. Thank you. Not apnea. Yeah. Sleep paralysis. I've had that. I've experienced that before. Have you guys ever experienced that? No.
I have not, but we suspect when I interview clients and I get that I was frozen, I couldn't talk, I couldn't yell, that's what they were experiencing. I have not ever experienced
that. They've mentioned that it's been like a dark energy or something on their chest talking to them, right?
Yeah, they feel that they're being held down, that they want to scream, but nothing comes out.
Yeah.
Arms are pinned, legs are pinned.
Yeah,
you can. No movement. And it doesn't last terribly long.
Right? Yeah, it's crazy. Short. Yeah, the only way I've gotten out of it, because I just say Jesus and you keep saying that or whatever, and it works.
Well,
Other than that, my mouth could barely move or anything like that. It's the scariest thing ever because you can see everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. And even though I feel like my eyes are closed, but I feel like it's almost like an inner, out of body experience because I can see everything taking place around me. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I was in the bed with Kara laying down, and I was facing away from her.
Yeah.
And I was like this. And
that's Wakanda forever, by the way.
Yes. But I was... I was trying to, I knew I was awake, but I was awake and half asleep, and I couldn't move, and I was like, I can't move, I said in my head, and so I tried to say Kara's name, that's my wife, I tried to say Kara, I couldn't speak, I couldn't say her name, so then I tried to say my son's name, Raymond, I couldn't say his name, I couldn't say Andrew, I couldn't say Anna, but I could say Ella, and I was like this, Kara. I just said Ella, and then Kara woke up and touched me, and when she touched me, I was released.
Really?
Uh huh. And I was like,
"Did you hear anything?" To me, I heard a demonic. I heard something evil on me saying something.
I didn't hear anything.
Wow. And my twin brother, he had the same experience.
Let us know when you want us at your house.
Oh yeah.
You've been a twin brother, huh?
I got a twin brother. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah, you said what? How old? Or cool.
She said cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're identical, but we look a little bit different. We're identical, but we look different. You know why? He came out first, so I have a theory of that.
He's got hair and you don't?
No, his face is longer because he came out first.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. He had to blaze the trail.
Yeah. He had to make room for the god. He had to make room for the king. So, yeah, my face is rounder because he made room for me.
So,
but yeah.
Has seeing or detecting ghosts changed your view or your outlook on the afterlife at all?
That's a good question.
I think so. Yeah. It's funny. I'm not sure it makes me more comfortable, but yeah. I believe that there is certainly a place to go afterwards. Mm-hmm. I just hope I'm not trapped like we feel a lot of our spirits are. Yeah, right?
In purgatory, that would suck. Yeah.
So exactly. Why are they trapped? Why are ghosts trapped? Why is that?
You know, first of all, I love all those medium shows, and I feel like not all spirits are trapped. You know, you watch Teresa with her clients and they are crossed over, but they have the ability to communicate with loved ones. That's why they can get messages across using mediums or whatnot. I don't know what we capture on evidence, if it's a trapped spirit or not.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think if you weren't real good in life, you're probably not going to get
Karen
gets religion real quick. She gets religious real quick. If you're not good, you're not going to be up there. You're going to be like down there.
Yeah, they say pretty much how you were in life is how you're going to be in death. So
that sucks ass. I'm good. Are you good, Raymond?
I don't go to church, but I will save every animal.
There you go. I say, yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't have to kill this mosquito. I don't need to kill this mosquito. I'm the same way.
I'm good.
Yo, this dude smashes mosquitoes and shit. Yeah.
Oh no, I would assume unfinished business, things like that, keep people behind. Wanting to communicate with loved ones.
What about your husbands or both of you married? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Cool. I didn't want to offend. I didn't know what happened since the bios I saw. You know what I mean? Anything could happen. It could be a late update. You know what I mean?
I know. I need to update those.
I know, it's pretty old.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. So your husbands. Yeah. What do your husbands think about this? Or are they involved in the team as well?
No. Well, for my husband, he's an airline pilot.
Oh wow!
And I think in the beginning, he just humored me.
Got you.
Like when I started this, it's still like, oh, isn't that cute? And then I think he just kind of, and then he started hearing my evidence. And then he's like, because I really don't think he believed at all. And now when I go to sit down to watch TV with him, he'll put a paranormal show on.
Uh-huh.
And he'll say, you know, it's for me, but I know it's for him too. So I got him hooked.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, I think my husband is an auto dealer and same thing. He completely humored me.
Mm-hmm.
And I even tried to get him to sponsor like a paranormal mobile, but he's like, don't you dare put my name on the back.
You guys are really going to be the Ghostbusters.
They're going to
be the Ghostbusters.
Ecto-1. You don't want to get Ecto-1?
Like, you won't put my name on the back. But he, you know, nothing will convert a non-believer than hearing a bona fide EVP on an audio recorder.
And,
you know, I will often listen after a case I'll be right in bed with the headphones just listening.
In bed?
And then I'll get the holy beep. I don't know what kind of show this is. And he'll go, what? I'm like, listen. And I'll put the headphones on and he'll have an holy moment right there. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We dragged our husbands down to the USS Salem.
Yeah, the Navy ship.
The Navy ship. So my husband and I had a deal. Mm-hmm. He would go ghost hunting with me if I would go learn to play golf. I totally did not do the golf part. But he came on the boat and he got tired. They, you know, us paranormal investigators can stay up late, but, you know, they wanted to, he wanted to go fall asleep where the sailors would sleep. And he heard footsteps come right down behind him. It was in a dark, scary bowels of a boat. This footsteps came behind him, and he felt the presence go right by him, and nothing was there. And I think that converted him.
Yeah.
Yeah. David was there, too.
Yeah, my husband was there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, my husband was, like, sound asleep. But
But Karen, you better try to get that Ghostbuster vehicle. You better try again for that Ghostbuster vehicle.
Yeah.
Hubby, sponsor this shit.
Dan will be driving it.
I know, exactly.
Are your kids interested in it at all? Are they interested in that being one?
They completely think I'm crazy. No.
Really? I think it's one of the coolest things ever.
Yeah.
You know, my son had so this whole thing started with my son having an experience. So he remembers that experience. He was about 3 at the time, which is what really pushed me to go check this all out and find out what it's about. Since then, he's had 2 more experiences. This is my youngest son. He's witnessed a wine glass move across my kitchen island, and my husband witnessed it too. I was highly irritated. I was in the garage at the time.
When you say move, and then, when you say move, was it just like...
It was on our kitchen island. We had just had some friends over. I was... Actually, my father was over, and I was saying goodbye to him, and I came in the house and Dan goes, you are going to be so mad. And he said that the wine glass sitting on our kitchen island wobbled and then slid about 2 feet. Of course, my brain says, let's figure out a logical explanation. Because you know how sometimes if there's water on an island, this island had, like, it was leathered, so it had little pits in it, so it wasn't smooth. And I tried everything to get this to happen again, and it didn't. And then my Sunday, this was about 2 years ago, we pulled in the driveway. I picked him up from school and he just goes, Mom, there was a man just standing outside my window. Wow. And we pulled, I live pretty much in the woods. He said, there was a man that was just outside the window and he just walked towards the woods. I'm like, where is he? I thought it was a UPS guy.
Like, he's was like, this at night in the middle of the night?
No, it was some guy and he walked towards the woods and disappeared. So I don't know, like, if he's a little bit more in tune, because he, when he was 3, saw something in a cemetery.
You think he's a medium?
I hope not, but poor guy. I think I think people's perceptor, certain people are more able to, tune into that. I wonder if he doesn't have a little tiny touch of that.
Right, they're on the right frequency, the right frequency. That's what I've been told.
Oh, you've been told the right frequency?
Yeah. Someone said it's about frequency. I don't know if that's true or not.
Everything's frequency. But
I've heard that. So I've heard you got to raise your frequency to be able to meet the spirits that can lower theirs, and you got to meet in the middle. So you're kind of on to that.
Well, how do you raise your frequency?
I have no idea.
I know.
I think it's in your, you know, you've got to lie there and think about an almost a trance-like state and almost as if you're in an elevator going up, but it's just in your mind. I don't know.
For a split moment there, Betty, I thought you were going to say you got to get tinfoil and you got to put it on your head.
Make little antennas.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, is this from Signs? I was like, is this from Signs? I was like, okay. I was like, she was cool until she mentioned a tinfoil. I'm just kidding. Karen, going back to what you said and touching on that, was this before you were... because you sounded like you were doubtful. Is this before you joined the paranormal group?
Yeah, before I joined the group.
All this took place?
Again, I was always interested in this stuff. My favorite show growing up was In Search Of. So anything to do with ghosts, Bigfoot, aliens, loved it.
Aliens.
And love all that stuff. You know, it's interesting. And so, and I read as a young, or even younger person than I am right now. don't ask my age.
I'm not.
So Vermont has this great author named Joe Citro. He writes all about Vermont folklore. So I read those books And I certainly loved all, there was a couple little ghost stories in my family that I made my grandmother repeat constantly. But
okay.
One of the things I did read one time was kids, young kids can really sort of be open to that thing mm-hmm. and don't dismiss it. That's why you'll hear a lot of claims like my 2-year-old, my 3-year-old, you know, sees things, has invisible friends. I happen to be in a cemetery. It's a very small cemetery that my grandmother was buried in. And I was fixing the flowers, making sure it looked good. I had my son with me. He was about 3 at the time. And just out of the blue, he goes, "Mom, can I go play with that little boy over there?" And I look and I'm seeing zero. There is nothing there. This cemetery is rural Vermont.
What time of day was that?
It was probably, we had just left a birthday party. It was probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon, broad daylight. And I, like I said, I was focused on fixing flowers. He's kind of hanging around me and he says this statement to me. And of course that little voice in me is like, uh-huh. And, but then I, that little thing I read, don't dismiss what kids see. And I said, sure, honey, let's go play with him. And he starts running down this little dirt path of the cemetery, 2 or 3 stones, puts on the brakes and goes, "I don't want to play with him anymore." Mm. And I'm like, "Why? I don't know. What'd he look like?" "Well, he looked like me, but with blonde hair." So he's describing this kid.
Yeah.
And then I said, "Well, where did he go?" He goes, "I don't know." So I tried to, you know, did he disappear? I couldn't figure it out. I went home and my father thinks I'm a complete nut too. You know, he's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I tell my mother this story. My mother tells my dad this story, apparently after I left. The next day, apparently there is a young family member long before my dad was born that is buried 2 stones down. He died of influenza when he was 3.
Wow.
So it'd be like my dad's half-brother or something like that. But the fact that this child is buried 2 stones down, which is exactly where Ryan said it, put the brakes on. It's just interesting. So that got my brain thinking. Yeah. And the fact that my dad was interested, I was like, ooh, there's something to this that started. Then I'm online looking for how you learn to be a ghost hunter. So
that story just gave me chills. It was, yeah, like, whoa.
Hey, Betty was like, "Hey, Karen's got some stories." That's what she said. She was like, "I gotta have Karen. Karen's got some stories."
Oh, man.
Ooh. If you guys are excited as me to hear how this episode concludes, I suggest you tune in this Wednesday on Weird and Wacky when the conclusion of this episode, part 2, drops. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. Oh, don't you just hate when they leave you on a cliffhanger? Yeah, about that.